Sefer Shoftim Perik Yud Zayin. This Perik discusses Micha and the idol he had made. In Pasuk Aleph, Vayehi Ish Mehar Ephraim Ushmo Michayahu. There was a man from the mountain of Ephraim, and his name was Michayahu. The Malbim and the Das Sofrim point out, at first we see Michayahu was a tzaddik, as his name Michayahu has Hashem's name of Yudkei Vavkei interlaying between the letters. However, starting from Pasuk 4 and onwards, the Navi only refers to him as Micha, removing Hashem's name from his name after he committed to Avodah Zarah. The Ramat Wali points out, Micha comes from the word mach, meaning poor and weak in Kedusha, after giving into the Satan by making an Avodah Zarah. I'd like to add, it takes no sophistication to come close to Hashem, as David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha. Go with Hashem with tmimus, simplicity, sincerity, and wholeheartedness. Continuing in the Perek, after Micha's mother put a curse on whoever stole her 1,100 silver coins, Micha confessed and returned them to her. Micha's mother now counters with a bracha to, in a sense, nullify the curse she had unknowingly placed on her son. Micha's mother now sets aside the silver coins for an avodah zarah, and she tries to get Micha to turn the coins into a pestle statue for avodah zarah for idol worship. Micha refuses the money and handed the silver coins back into her hands. Micha's mother now brings the money to a silversmith to make it into an idol. The Malbim adds, she paid 200 coins to the silversmith and used the rest of the 900 coins for the pestle, for the Avodah Zarah. Micha now makes a base of Avodah Zarah, a house of idol worship. As it says in Pasuk Hey, V'ha'ish Micha lo base Elokim. Micha had a house for idol worship. Vayas Efo, the Tzrafim, V'yamaleis Yad Echad Mibarav, V'yihi lo l'koin. And he made an ephod and Tzrafim there, different types of Avodah Zarah, and he appointed one of his sons to be the Kohen there. The Navi continues, as it says in Pasuk Vav, V'yami Mahim Ein Melech B'Yisrael, Ish HaYashar Be'ein of Yaseh. In those days there was no king over Israel, and every man did what they saw fitting in their eyes. The Radak and the Bar Moshe point out that this is relevant because there was no leader around to rebuke Micha and guide the nation in proper Hadracha as well. Pasuk Zayin through Pasuk Yabez, a man from the tribe of Levi moved to Har Ephraim looking for work, and he spent a night by Micha. Micha offered him a job to be the Kohen of his house of idols. The Levi left and refused. However, the Levi returned sometime later, stayed with Micha, and accepted the offer for a work position. Micha trained the Levi to work as a Kohen for him. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, which is the end of the Peret, it says, Vayomer Micha, ata yadati ki yetiv Hashem li. Now I know Hashem was good to me. Ki ayalo ha-Levi le-Kohen. Because now I have a Levi for me to serve as a Kohen. Micha saw this as a sign from Hashem that after all, he has someone from Shevet Levi working for him as a Kohen. What could be better than that? I like to add, it's a machlokas, a mafortium, of when this story actually took place, when this story of Pesach Micha and the following prakim of Pilegish Begiva. As we said in Pasuk Vav, in those days there was no king of Yisrael. Rashi says this is referring to the beginning of Sefer Shoftim, when Klal Yisrael didn't have any leaders yet. The Seder Olam adds, both incidents took place between the death of Yehoshua and the leadership of Asmiel ben Kenaz. The Radak, both incidents took place between the time of Shimshon and Eli HaKohen, because there is no shofet in the land to give them tochacha. Rebuke. Other Mephoshim learn that indeed the incidents, both incidents, and the entire Sefer Shoftim took place in chronological order. It's interesting to note, according to those Mephoshim, the Lila from the previous parak was actually Micha's mother. Thank you very much for listening, and have a wonderful day.